And welcome to another edition of the Odyssey Radio Show. I'm your host, Mike Schultz, and we talk about ancient mysteries and modern mysteries and metaphysical topics of the day. So today our topic is we're going to talk about flower essences. And I've brought an expert on the show. She runs her own business and can tell us all about this subject. Her name is Camilla Blossom Bishop. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me just tell you my take on it. I go into New Age stores a lot, and I see essential oils, and I use them like lemon and lavender. But tell me a little bit about flower essences. How are they different than essential oils?
Yeah, I think the main difference is that flower essences don't have a scent. And usually you take them using a dropper bottle and putting a few drops in water, and they're often preserved in brandy. So you're taking a few drops in water and drinking them. And so, for one thing, the way that you take them is very different.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take them, they go into your nervous system and into your energy field and help align and balance your whole system.
I see. Now, how did you get involved in this somewhat esoteric field?
Well, I've been really drawn to plants, and I was studying herbs. And after having my son, I went through a really difficult postpartum period. And flower essences were what really turned me around. They provided me with something that really could address the different emotional issues. And also, I felt like I was going through a really strong spiritual initiation period. And they just really helped me find balance and stability and also move through this real intense opening for me.
I see. So you actually harvest them yourself?
You don't have to harvest them. That's what's mm-hmm. wonderful about them. They're true sustainable medicine, because once I've gone and made them, it's a real spiritual process to make them. I often do it in those sacred places, in the gorge, you know, near waterfalls and near the mountains and the river. And then once they're made, the flowers are often put in the water, and the sun transfers energy into the water. And then I make what's called the mother essence. And from that, I can make the different bottles that I sell. And so once they're made, I don't have to keep making them. And what I find, too, is that the flowers are evolving with us. And even being bottles, they are evolving and changing just as we are changing.
I see. This is a nationwide radio show, and some people may not be familiar with the Columbia River
yeah.
Gorge. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that area and why it's so special and unique?
Okay. Well, the Columbia River cuts through Washington and Oregon State, and it was formed by cataclysmic flooding. So what it created was this very deep gorge with cliffs on each side of the Columbia, which is a very huge river. And so there's all these beautiful waterfalls on both sides of the river, and lots of volcanic activity also contributed to the formation of this area. And we still have the Mount Hood, Mount Adams, Mount St. Helens, where the volcano was. It's this area. And it's the really powerful area. It was the native people from all over the country would come here and gather and catch salmon and trade and do ceremony. So the area has a rich history of abundance and gathering and power spots. And then also this flooding and the intense volcanic activity really just set up an area that that is used to change. And that's really what we're facing now. That's why I feel that these flowers are really potent agents for change, for transformation, is because they are from this area that is very beautiful, but also has dealt with real extremes.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah.
So tell me how exactly the flower essence gets into your system and chemically works, like from
yeah.
the moment you take it in your mouth, and under your tongue,
uh-huh.
and then how does it enact that chemical change?
Well, I don't tend to speak of it too physically, because it's kind of a more of a frequency medicine, or called vibrational
mm-hmm.
Medicine. So I tend to talk about it more with the electrical system, in terms of working in the nervous system, that it goes into the bloodstream through, but more directly to the nervous system, the electrical system, and it works to balance and repair and calm your nervous system, which is really the gateway for our consciousness and also the place where we feel stress. And so, in a sense, it is kind of a mysterious medicine. It's not like something that's been proven and it's done lots of scientific studies. It's nothing like that at all. I find one of the beauties of it is that it's gentle and it's pure, it's from nature, and that there's a kind of mystery to it. And each flower has its own relationship when it is within someone and how it helps them to balance and find greater healing.
I see. So what type of feeling would a person experience when they're taking these? Is it immediate or?
Well, if you're really sensitive, and I can tend to feel this, and a lot of people I know, they can take an essence or even hold one, and they can actually feel a difference. Sometimes I have people hold one and have them really tune in, and they can go, oh, I'm feeling energy rushing down my legs as if it's grounding me. Or someone else might notice that their crown chakra opens and they feel more light coming in. Other people, they don't tend to feel things so much. It's just how their body is set up. And they may have a different experience of just when I started taking them, it would take several weeks. And then I would notice, oh, yeah, there was really this shift that was more on the emotional or the belief level. Or there also could be like this experience of, oh, wow, you know, all of a sudden you really get what you need to get. And that creates the awareness, which creates the shift in the beliefs and the freeing of the emotional energy around it.
Mm-hmm. Can you inhale them like essential oils? Do you take them?
Well, you know, you can use them in a lot of different ways. I use them in the bath. I put them on my gemstone, and they send the flower energies around the room. You can put them in crystal bowls and have them, trying to think of what you call it, sing your bowls and have the energy circulate around. I put them in sprays with the oils and use them that way. They make great clearing sprays and just, you know, shifting the energy in a space or around your aura.
Many different modalities.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about the specific flower essences. I want to talk about one that's called Mental Flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's ballhead water leaf. That's a type of flower. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, this is a pretty neat one. It grows in the oak woodland, so it kind of grows in a more desert climate. And when they first come out, they look like just green, like on the end of the stem, they have just green, tight ball shape. And they're called ballhead water leaf. They're the leaves. Anyway, let me talk about the ballhead first. When it blooms, the lavender florets start growing out from this green bud and flowing out and radiating around the flower. And so it's really interesting, just kind of the doctrine of signatures, partly because of its name called ball head, but partly just looking at how it grows. It's a wonderful one for people who kind of are congested in the head. Recently I took it and could really feel the energy of the crown of my head and around my head just really shift and open.
So if your thoughts are just confused or you're just too busy in your mind, that would be a good one.
That would be excellent and just gets the flow going. That's a lot of what the essences do. That's really wonderful. The reason we have issues is because we have blocks or places in our body that the energy isn't moving. So by taking these different essences, they just help that movement and the flow and help us release the blocks.
I see. Now, there's another one called Surrender. That seems interesting.
Yeah.
I know I can fly. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I love this one. This is actually a flower. It's called Barrett's Penstemon, and it's one of... it only grows in the Columbia River Gorge. So this is the only place in the world. There's penstemons that grow in a lot of places, but this specific one, and it's a really beautiful joyful flower. When you see it, you just feel really happy because it's these bright pink and purple flowers on a big bush, and it grows up in the cliff. So when you are out in the gorge and you just look up when it's blooming, you'll see these huge, beautiful patches of pink and purple on the side of the cliff.
Mm.
And I remember one time a friend of mine was really struggling just in this place of fear and resistance, and this has kind of happened over and over with this flower, that they feel like in their head and in their mind and their decision is that they're going to move forward and make a decision or do whatever it is next. But there's some kind of energetic holding within their body, this kind of fear or mm-hmm. sense that it's hard to take that step forward. And so this is the flower that came in for her, and just giving her a few drops of that was enough that next step just was, just kind of eases it.
It cleared that block.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need a little boost.
Exactly.
That does it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's talk about one called Heart Releasing. I cleanse my heart with love.
Oh, the bleeding heart.
Mm-hmm.
This one is really intriguing to me. A lot of people may know this because it's a common garden plant too, but it is a native around here, and it grows more in the wetlands, the rainforest area. And it's, to me, it's like someone designed it for us humans
mm-hmm.
for when we had issues of the heart, relationship, breakups, death in the family, just difficulty letting go of the past, relationships, anything to do with the heart. The bleeding heart can really help let that go.
Okay, love relationships.
Oh yeah,
that kind of thing.
It's great for all that, and that's one of the main flowers in my heart chakra remedy.
Okay, as we go through this, I know it's a lot of different flower essences, but I want people to get a feel for all the different ones. I want them to go to your website, so tell them the website so they can go either now or after the interview.
Okay. It's www.3flowershealing.com.
3flowershealing.com, and it makes more sense once you see it on the website. It's not so overwhelming. So let's go on to Divine Self. I love myself and I value myself. California poppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. California poppy is a beautiful one that it just has such a radiant orange color. It almost seems like the color is not of this world when it's shining in the sun, and it actually closes up at night and then opens in the sunshine. And this one is a beautiful one for right now, because I feel like this whole eclipse energy really brought this forward of how we all need to really love and treasure ourselves more. And this flower, I feel, really does bring that divine self, that true self, helps you feel that sense of it within yourself. And I love that word treasure, because it really looks like the flower has a sense of being a real golden treasure.
Gold.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And
it's a very pretty flower.
Yeah.
So divine self. Let's talk about, I think we all have self-doubts at times, so let's talk about one called self-belief. I strengthen my belief in myself.
Yeah, this is another penstemon, and I had talked about the Barrett's penstemon one for surrender. The cut-leaf penstemon is another wonderful one. Let me just say a minute. The penstemons are wonderful for empowerment, for just helping us move beyond any feelings of victimhood, or even just being women. We've had ancestry that has sort of trained us that way. So this cut-leaf penstemon is a beautiful pink and purple and bluish color, and it really helps us strengthen our belief in ourselves and give us more motivation and passion for creating what we want in our life.
Absolutely. Now, how about if somebody's having a hard time with communication and self-expression?
Mm-hmm.
I am blessed and protected always. Let's talk about the glacier lily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's two really good communication ones. The glacier lily is beautiful for people who kind of like to hide, and the lilies tend to be for the more delicate and sensitive person. So the glacier lily, as it blooms, its petals, it's yellow and white, its petals flip out, and it looks like it's dancing, and it's just a very beautiful flower, very playful, and it just reminds us to feel safe and not worry about the motivation, or be more trusting about the motivations of others, and allowing ourselves to love, especially sometimes we can block energy in the back of our chakra and not allow ourselves to receive energy, loving energy, because we're kind of mistrustful.
Mm-hmm.
So that one can help us feel safer and trusting.
I see these are half-ounce bottles. About how long would that last? About a month? Okay.
I have a few different. I have a quarter-ounce ones and then the half-ounce, and you can use them to put in bigger dosage bottles to make more. But the half ounce does last about a month. And you can put, you know, a few drops in a water bottle,
mm-hmm.
and then shake it and drink that through the day, and that will help them last longer, too.
Oh, that's a good idea, because they're concentrated.
Yeah, and then you can also, you don't have to think about taking them three times a day. You can just put it in your water bottle, and then you're drinking it all day.
I see. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So how about, you know, so many of us get stuck in a rut, or we just like things the same, but we're supposed to grow and change in life. So talk about the one flower essence called change.
Mm-hmm. The heartleaf buckwheat is about change. And when I was working with this flower, it was so sweet. It was, I am comfort food for the light body. And as I feel, a lot of these flowers are really helping us evolve and grow and heighten our frequency levels. Just to think of our light body needing food. You know, our nervous system feeds on light when our body needs food as nourishment. So I kind of see this as a really great one for any kind of change when we're in a rut or there's inertia or the sense of you just can't quite deal with everything changing. And my sense is there's going to be a lot more change, so we really need these kind of tools to help us. And this is one I use in a lot of my formulas, too. Back to Center is one formula, and Safe Passage.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to the formula.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's important, the way you blend them all. But I want to ask you, because you're so close to nature, do you sense that there are maybe sprites or elementals or fairies? Are you in touch with them? Are they helpful and around? Tell me about any experiences you may have had.
I work with a lot of different energies and beings, and they've become my friends. I have a gnome that shows me where the power spots are, and I work with the mermaids in the Hood River, and they have given me essences to help with water healing and also healing our own emotional waters. And of course, the fairies, the flower and fairies and devas, the angelic realm, I feel, comes through in working with the flowers, too. I feel that the flowers are really channeling a lot more energy than just what they were in the past,
mm-hmm.
because there's such a need for greater frequencies, like the divine feminine energies and those kind of things.
So are you saying they give you the formulas? Where do they come from?
Yeah, it's sort of a group effort, I guess. Because there's, because I work with the elementals and the fairies and the angels and the different realms.
Mm-hmm. And but they tell you which flower is appropriate for which mood.
Yeah,
or
it's kind of like I've built a relationship over the years with the different flowers, and they kind of guide me into what people will need and what can help them. And it can show up in different ways. I can get it in dreams or, you know, keep seeing them wherever I look or mm-hmm. or people keep showing up and they need the same flower or...
Right. Now, what about people that need willpower and they really desire to manifest something like, I align my will? What would they use for that?
Uh-huh. The Colomia.
Mm-hmm.
That one is a great one. It's a beautiful peach-colored flower. It's very feminine energy, and I find it's real second chakra and helps you get in touch with what you desire and how to really use your feelings to get in touch with what you want in your life.
That's something we all need. Now,
yeah.
How about someone who just feels weak and they want strength? The phrase you have is, I am strong in purpose and joy.
Mm-hmm, the oak. The oak tree is just, I do trees as well, as you can see. And the oak tree is just a really sacred, beautiful tree. And trees are just very, very grounding. So I find they're really helpful to mix with the flowers, too. And the oak just brings a lot of strength. It also brings balance between, I know I can get like this.
Mm-hmm.
I can work too much and not take time to play. Because I get, well, I love my work. That's part of it. But when you need to balance your personal life and your work life and be a little more yielding, oak can help with that.
I see. Now, without naming names, can you tell me about some clients that have come to you and some specific issues you've helped them overcome with these flower essences?
Sure. I had a woman recently whose doctor recommended that she take antidepressants, and I think she was planning to do that, but her sister said, no, don't do that. And so she got her some of my formula that I have and gave it to her. So she started taking it. Within 3 days, she called me and said, I just had such immediate, direct results from this. I'm just really, she was quite blown away.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sent me this card, and I'll read you a few things because it was pretty strong how it really helped her. And she said that it helped me overcome all of my past emotional baggages, and instilled a deep sense of peace and balance to my whole entire being. Every time I take my essence in the morning, I give thanks to you.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really, that's I think why I do this work, because when I hear people, their results.
Absolutely, that's so heartwarming. What about some other clients who have been to you over the years and really experienced some dynamic results?
There's a woman who, this was just recently. This woman, she was really resistant to take anything. She called me up, but she was really kind of hemming and hawing about, even though someone recommended that she take Bleeding Heart. And so I even got a little strong, which I don't usually get with people, but I said, well, just trust me, why don't you try it? But you could tell she's just really resistant, so she didn't purchase it. But she called me back a few weeks later and said, okay, I really want to get it now. So she got the Bleeding Heart and she took it. And I just got to meet her last week. And just meeting her and hearing her voice, she was completely different. And she said, you know, I am completely different. I just totally let go of all my resentments and my anger about this past relationship. And even when I try to hold on to it, I can't. It's just gone. And she said it's completely changed her life, and she's really appreciative. And, so that was another beautiful example of someone who really
had a bleeding
had
heart.
A big shift.
And
yeah, she did have a bleeding heart.
Wow, that's a tough one. What about somebody who has a wounded inner child, and they really have some powerful, you know, abuse or something in their history?
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, a really good flower for that that I've used with people and with children, too, is the Bedell's Mountain Buttercup. And it's basically a buttercup flower that grows near the Dalles, which is in Oregon. and there's a place where lots of them grow over in Washington. And that one is a really beautiful one to just kind of hold people, their inner child or for a child, to help them release the pain and shame and feelings of wounding and being hurt.
I see. By the way, are you available for phone consultations if people need help with this? Or
yeah.
Should they go to the website? What should
mm-hmm.
they do?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll just give people a recommendation if they email me and they say, I've got this going on, and I might just get a quick idea and give them a formula idea. But I also love to do custom formulas. People mm-hmm. do come here to my office in Hood River, Oregon, but I also do phone consultations and can do some energy work as well, and then come up with some different flowers that can help them move through whatever challenges or spiritual opening there.
So let's give out the website again so people can mm-hmm. go there and consult with you.
Yeah, and I have set it up now so they can actually purchase a consultation right on the website.
Okay. So go ahead and give that out again.
It's www.3flowershealing.com.
threeflowershealing.com. And I want to remind the listeners that all of these shows go into the archives, and for a small fee, you can get into the archives and get this information in the future if you forget it tonight or something. So let's go on and talk about your formulas now. You've made it easy for people. You've done a lot of the blending. Why don't you start with, what's your number one formula?
Back to Center.
Okay. Talk about that.
And Back to Center is one I was talking about, Hartley's Buckwheat, and that's about change. And that one is a beautiful one for any emotional issues, working through any kind of emotional change, emotional healing process. It also has valerian is another one of the flowers in it, and that is one that's just really helpful for kind of bringing you more to stillness.
Mm-hmm. So that's your number one seller. Because
yeah,
we're all out of balance at times throughout any
yeah.
given day, right?
Well, coming up close behind that is one called Inner Peace.
Okay.
And that one is part of my Create Heaven on Earth kit, which what I really feel that these flowers are doing is bridging us into a time of for each of us to know to trust in our ability to create our own heaven on earth. And by using flowers and finding our joy and what makes us happy, that can we can create that for ourselves. And Inner Peace is one of the formulas in this kit that just really helps us find more balance and release any things that are conflicted within us or anger issues. Or
and we may not even be aware of these anger issues.
Yeah.
Deep down, and we don't even know they're there still.
Exactly. And this formula is interesting, too. I used to have kids' formulas, but I decided that I didn't need to have separate ones, that they would do well with what I already had. And this Inner Peace formula is wonderful for children whose parents are going through or have gone through divorce, because a lot of times children are really sensitive, and even when the parents are trying to be as consider as possible to their children, there's still anger that comes out. And sometimes children blame themselves or they don't understand that it's their parents and not themselves. So I found that this one is also really helpful for the parents and the children to take to kind of smooth through. Like you say, you don't know you have anger, but it just can help release that.
I see. Now, you have an interesting box. It looks like a rainbow, and there's one flower essence for each chakra. Why don't you
yeah.
talk about your kit, your box?
Yeah, I have a kit. It's called the Flowering Chakra Kit, and this is a real beautiful process to make. And each bottle, there's 8 bottles, so each bottle, the 7 bottles, is a different color and a different word that relates to the chakras. So, like, the number 1 is red, and it's called connect. The number 2 is called create, and it's orange. And so it just makes it really easy for people to pick what they need by, it could even be what physically is going on in their body, Like if you have digestive issues, you could use the third one because that's about that area of the body. And that will also work with the emotional and mental issues that and spiritual issues that are affecting the third chakra.
Now, we have seven chakras, but you have eight formulas. What's the eighth one?
It's called Clear, and Clear connects them all together and works with the pranic tube and the aura and just kind of clears the whole system as one, as opposed to each of the formulas works to clear and balance and charge the individual chakras.
I see. Now, I actually met you at a psychic fair, and you told me, I only wanted to buy one to start with. You said that men need the second chakra, and that's the one
third.
You got me started with. So why don't you talk about men and the female is third, I believe?
Well, the other way around.
Okay.
I've been testing a lot of people at shows and demos using a pendulum and just testing their chakras and then giving them the formulas. And it's been interesting, too, just to see how immediately you can see the pendulum will shift and their chakra will open, taking them. So almost 95% of the time, men need the third empower one because that's men's power center.
So the stomach area.
Yeah. And then women need the second chakra, which is their women's power center is the second, which is a little lower.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reproductive system and the sacral area. So, and a lot of women, too, are testing for the fifth chakra, which is called Express, which is about communication and speaking your truth, and because the second and the fifth are also linked. So for women to work on their creativity and opening to more pleasure and their sexuality and their power, which are all in the second chakra, and also manifesting what they want, then the fifth chakra is where it comes out in the world, and you speak what you want, and you manifest what you want, and you bring it into the real world.
I see. So the kit is really a great place to start. You really can't go wrong with that. Then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about one love. It's about self-worth and compassion for yourself, and just boosting self-esteem. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, one love is. It's the one I've been using a lot lately. It feels like the eclipse energy, like I was mentioning, is a really strong energy of releasing and letting go. And for one thing, all the essences I feel are really helpful for that. But this in particular really brings in that sense of our value, of appreciating ourselves, of loving ourselves, of feeling our value and self-worth. And when we can do that for ourselves, then we can do that for others more fully. And this one has a beautiful reddish pink wild rose in it called Pearhip Rose. And it has California Poppy, which is one I mentioned about divine self and really treasuring yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about if a person has a lot of toxins in their body, maybe just junk foods or smoking, or how would they go about detoxing?
Well, I have a formula called Clear Body, which has been really popular with people as a combination to use when you are doing detoxing. And what is wonderful about that is it can really work with the energetic blocks that can keep our body from naturally cleansing itself. And that's usually why we build up toxins, is because there's some blocks in our system. And so this one is specially formulated to really help us clear energetically so that the toxins can go.
I see. And what about the one that's geared for sexual issues, sexual healing?
Mm-hmm. Orchids of Venus.
Mm-hmm.
That one can be used to really awaken the kundalini energy or also for sexual healing. I worked with the orchids, the wild orchids here, and they're really potent energy for our sexuality and for sacredness in our sexuality, really heartful. But it was interesting, too, sitting with some of them, I could really feel my kundalini rising just from being with these orchids.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how about, are these appropriate for animals as well, or only humans?
Yes. I do have a kit and formulas for pets. Purr and Paws and Let's Play. And and I've had lots of good success stories with that. But any of these are appropriate for pets as well. I guess one of the things I recommend for people that use them with pets is that they take them too. Because oftentimes we're mirrors for each other.
Absolutely. We're winding down here.
Okay.
And I want to ask you about a miracle healing oil you have.
Mm-hmm.
Is that for skincare?
Yes. This is an aromatherapy blend with essences in it. Arnica is one of the essences I put in it. And it's got lavender, chamomile, and helichrysum, and it's really quite a remarkable healer for the skin. I've had testimonial after testimonial of people using it for pain or injury and just being pretty blown away by the results.
Mm-hmm. So any type of skin dryness or...
Yeah, you can use it for dryness.
Inflammation.
You can use it for rashes, sunburn, facial care. A lot of people have used it for back pain or sore muscles, like massage oil. I have massage therapists that use it for their clients.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I wanted to go through specific oils and essences. I felt like it was the best way to explain all of this, actually. And I really appreciate you coming on. And I know that you want to end with a poem.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you give us the website information one more time, and then we'll go into the poem.
Okay. It's www.3flowershealing.com.
Okay, great. And why don't you leave us with a poem?
Okay. And this poem is called Nature Speaks. Elemental breath, no pause to consider, just clear rhythms of eternity coalesce in the dewdrops, in the ethers, in the moment one chooses to belong.
Well, that's very beautiful and a great way to end this segment. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I'll see you out there in the metaphysical highways.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Camilla. Good night.
Take care.
Okay, that was aromatherapist and flower essence practitioner Camilla Blossom Bishop, and she has a great practice and website, so please check her out. So now we're going to shift gears completely in the last segment of the show. It's September 10th today as I speak, so tomorrow is the big day. It's the anniversary of September 11th, and it's been 6 years since that dramatic day, and it's time to talk about it, actually. There's quite a shift in our nation's belief systems about 911. The latest Zogby poll is talking about that 51% of Americans do not believe the official story of 911. And they want a whole new investigation. So we've crossed over the line. We've crossed over the 50% line. This is tens and tens and millions of people who don't believe the official story, or they certainly feel that parts of it are missing or were never investigated. And something's got to give here, actually. The American public is demanding answers. Tomorrow there's going to be huge demonstrations in New York. And we need to follow this closely, because the leader of this whole 911 Truth movement, his name is Alex Jones, and his website is read by millions. It's called Infowars.com, Infowars.com. And Alex was arrested this weekend just for simply holding up a sign and questioning 911. So a lot of things are going on behind the scenes, and something's got to give here. I've investigated this topic for several years now, and the main number one issue people have is that a third skyscraper fell on that day. It was in the afternoon. It was a 47-story skyscraper. It was called Building 7, and it fell within 7 seconds. It just went straight down. It was never hit by a plane, and it was just so artificial. And you can, it's on videotape, you can watch the tape, and it clearly looks like a demolition. And it doesn't look like any sort of natural collapse or anything. And it's never happened before in the history of skyscrapers. buildings never just collapsed in 7 seconds for no apparent reason. And the media briefly reported it that day, and then they never mentioned it again. And when all of these millions of Americans found out about Building 7, they got angry. They wanted answers. It was never mentioned in the official 911 commission report. And people are upset about this. They want answers to this. They want it addressed. There's many other issues. Many of us have looked at photographs of the Pentagon taken that morning by the Associated Press and by the Army, and the pictures just don't add up. A lot of us are not seeing the terrible wreckage that you would normally see from a giant plane. The wingspan of a 757 is 125 feet, and yet the hole was only 40 feet. The initial hole was only 16 feet, actually. It was perfectly round, and it was 16 feet. And then later on, a part of the building collapsed, and it was still only 40 feet. So you would think the wings would be on the grass or something, or the tail or the engine or the airline seats or the luggage or the bodies or all of the debris associated with a massive plane crash, you would think would be on the White House lawn. If you look at the Pentagon lawn, if you look at those pictures, you will see that every single blade of grass is green and is perfect on the Pentagon lawn that morning after the so-called crash. So a lot of people think a missile that maybe looked like a plane with wings hit it or something. We don't know. We simply want a new investigation. So probably the best website out there to really dig into this if you want to is 911truth.org. I'll say that again, 911truth.org. Of course, many celebrities have come forward questioning it. Charlie Sheen came forward a few years ago and was immediately slammed by the tabloids for all sorts of allegations. Rosie O'Donnell questioned it and was immediately taken off The View, her show. But the most powerful evidence of all is I went to a conference in Los Angeles, and I saw the last man out of the building, Building 1. He was the head janitor, head supervisor for 20 years. He knew the building inside and out. He had been through the World Trade Center bombings in 93. He knew what a bombing was like in that building. And he will tell you clearly that 1 minute before the plane hit, there were bombs in the basement, massive bombs in the basement, destabilizing the building. And he and everybody ran down to the basement. They didn't go up. They went down. And then they heard the plane hit above. But they were down there saving people who had been burned, who were hurt, who had died, and they were pulling people out of the basement. Once again, right before and after the plane hit the building. So that doesn't jive at all with the official story. And his name is William Rodriguez. You can type that into a search engine, William Rodriguez and 911, and you can read his story. He's been on television all over the world. He's been in Cuba, and he speaks Spanish. He's been in many Latin American countries speaking to millions and millions, telling them what happened on 911. But he is not allowed on major networks in the United States. So the rest of the world has really found out about a lot of this. But in America, we still have the giant media wall, the big screen, telling us about all sorts of silly stories about Anna Nicole Smith or whatever, keeping these important interviews with William Rodriguez and others from us. So, you know, probably the most popular DVD out there is Loose Change. I know probably at least 100 million DVDs have gone out. You can see it for free online, so Loose Change is a good place to start as well. And there's just millions of free DVD documentaries circulating on this subject and people really digging into 911 and trying to discover the truth. So that's my take on the whole issue, and I think at some point there's going to be a new investigation, or our government's going to have to shift and be more responsive to the people. Because, like I said, the Zogby poll is indicating now more than 50% don't believe our government's official story. So that's my little segment on 911 tonight. So please check out those references. And as you know, on this show, we always talk about ancient mysteries. So I wrote an article recently about Mexico and the Yucatan, and that's one of the ancient sites around the world where there was advanced technology, I believe. And I'm going to read you an article about that right now. So it appears an advanced race engineered much of this technology as a Yucatan in Mexico. One of the more interesting ruins in this area is called El Caracol, which means the snail in Spanish. It refers to a domed type of building named after a sophisticated spiral staircase inside the structure. This ancient culture actually utilized this building as an observatory for astronomy. The doors were aligned to observe the rotation of the moon. They used shadows inside the room to determine when a solstice would occur. The windows are aligned to the summer solstice. There are large stone cups balanced around the edge of El Caracol. They use the reflection of water in these cups to pinpoint their extremely accurate calendar system. Now, this is all thousands of years ago, by the way, this structure was built. And it really does look like a modern-day observatory, something you would see at, like, the famous one at Griffith Park in Los Angeles, the big round dome. It's still standing to this day. There are several statues in this area known as Xochmuls. They are made of stone and depict a Mayan reclining on his back. There is a tray on his stomach that served as an altar for incense and other gifts. During the darker period of Mexican history, human sacrifice and human hearts were laid upon these altars. There is a Xochmul at the top of the major pyramid of Colchicán. This is the largest, most famous pyramid in Mexico. It's perfectly symmetrical, by the way. And right next to it, in the inner chamber, is a stone sculpture of a jaguar. This is a reference to one of the powerful animals who were gods in previous worlds, as there are jaguar ruins all across this region. The spots of this jaguar are inlaid with 72 pieces of stunning jade. This is an important reference to the precession cycle of time of 25,920 years referred to in the Mayan calendar. So let me pause here and explain that a bit further. In a lot of my research and when I produced my DVDs on ancient mysteries, I found that the number 72 was frequently used. And let me give you some examples. Near Mexico City, there's a giant grouping of pyramids called Teotihuacan. And they had a unit of measure that was like a meter. And these pyramids were 72 units from each other. That's how they were laid out, 72. There's another major temple in Cambodia. And in the east, it's called Angkor Wat. And that has 72 buildings or structures in the jungle. And it's 72 degrees longitude east from the Great Pyramid of Giza. And then, as I just mentioned, we have the largest or one of the most famous pyramids in Mexico in the Yucatan, has a stone jaguar on the top of it with 72 pieces of jade. So clearly the ancients were giving us some kind of reference to this number. They were giving us a puzzle piece or a clue. And what I found out through Graham Hancock and other researchers who uncovered this is that 72 represents an important component of precession. Precession is when the Earth does a slight wobble. Every 72 years, it wobbles about 1 degree. So if you're looking directly at the constellation of Leo in the east, 72 years later, it will appear that it shifted 1 degree east. So if you times 72 times 360 degrees, that leads you back to the 25,920 years of the Mayan calendar. So they were trying to explain that precession was important, that we are on a time cycle of what the Mayan calendar says. And we're coming to the end of it. Whether it's exactly in the year 2012, I don't know. But all indicators are that we're at the end of this cycle. And so this is kind of a cosmic clue or puzzle piece that was left behind in all these ancient monuments thousands of years ago. They wanted us to understand this concept. And that's why in Stonehenge and all of these ancient megalith monuments, they aligned their stones and their structures to the winter solstice, the summer solstice, the fall and spring equinox, because that's the churning of the cycle. That's the churning of the seasons in this long cycle. And there's 12 zodiac signs that we go through during these 26,000 years. We just finished about 2,000 years of the age of Pisces, which was the age of Christian dominance, the fish, which we're now moving away from. Now we're at the dawning of the age of Aquarius, just like the song said. That's what the hippies were singing and dancing about in the 60s, was that a new age is dawning. We're shifting into the age of Aquarius, which is all about lightning-fast communication, by the way, which explains the prominence of computers appearing all of a sudden. So let me get back to the article now. But I wanted to explain precession in detail, and it's all laid out in my second DVD titled The Temple of Stone. And you can check that out on the website Odyssey at the main page. So another ruin in this area is known as the Temple of the Warriors. It is very similar to the structure of the totem warriors built at Tula. The dozens of stone pillars are used to hold up a plaster roof, which decayed a long time ago. At the top of the stairway, there is another Chakmul altar statue. Several giant ball courts are still standing. There is a stone ring on the wall, which the athletes had to hit a rubber ball through without using their hands. There are sculpted panels inside the ball court depicting the captain of the losing team being decapitated. So this was a pretty rough game, and the losers ended up paying with their life, according to the artwork left behind. Researchers have found references to the kings who ruled this ancient city with dates stretching back to at least 300 AD. This list of kings includes Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent god, who gave many of the gifts of civilization, including a detailed knowledge of astronomy, to this culture. One of the largest stone ruins in the Americas can be found in the small nation of Belize, south of Mexico. In 1938, explorers uncovered the remains of a complex city covering over 30 square miles. Incredibly, they found evidence of 35,000 buildings. The most elaborate was a massive pyramid known as Cana, capped by three temples that rise over 140 feet above the jungle. This city was also known as Caracol, and included an astronomy observatory as well as plazas, temples, and ancient ball courts. So once again, here's another example of an ancient city where they're absolutely focused on the celestial heavens, and they have observatories, and they're watching the skies and the planets and basing their calendar systems on these alignments. Now, where did they get this advanced knowledge? My guess and my belief, along with a lot of us, is that there used to be ancient astronauts. There were space travelers and advanced beings who were on these ancient cities thousands of years ago and helped them establish them and teach them about the zodiac and astrology. So the Temple of Caracol was assembled from heavy stones weighing several tons in the same intricate pattern of Colcocan in the north. One monument here is dated to 562 AD, so we know that the city was at least 1,500 years old. This massive ruin in Belize is yet another example of an ancient culture with an advanced knowledge of astronomy and pyramid construction. And of course, pyramids were built all over the world, not just in Egypt. They are prevalent in China, in Sumeria, in South America, in Mexico, and Egypt, of course, as I mentioned, and in India. So there are definitely at least six major ancient cities around the globe where they, I believe they were harnessing pyramid power and pyramid technology, which has really been coming back in the past few years in the New Age metaphysical movement. So many people are buying copper sculptures of pyramids or sitting under them or meditating them and harnessing this ancient technology. So I want to wind up with talking about pyramid mounds tonight. As those of you in the Midwest know, in Illinois and Indiana and Michigan, there are mounds. There are burial mounds, or they look like pyramids in a way. And they're scattered all throughout the Midwest and all around the world. They're even in China. And I was listening to a guest recently on a radio show named John Burke, and he researched these mounds for years. And what he concluded is that the societies with these mounds next to them were more affluent. They had more riches, more wealth, better pottery, better housing, etc. It was pretty consistent across the board. And the ancient nomadic villages without these mounds were more poor and had less of everything. So what he concluded is that somehow the building of the pyramid mound harnessed energy and upgraded the energy in the earth, and crops were more bountiful. And this was done all throughout the world. Somehow these primitive people knew about this technology, and once again, I feel that they were given this from ancient astronauts or ancient space travelers. And so it's pretty intriguing, this theory, and it makes a lot of sense. So they, when the crops were fallow or not growing very well, they would build these mounds, and it would transmute energy and bring or draw energy into the earth, and the crops would be much more bountiful. So that's a very intriguing theory from John Burke that makes a lot of sense to me, actually. So we're winding up now. I want to remind everybody to go to the main page on bbsradio.com, and there's a lot of really great websites there. There's 10 or 15 really excellent sites. Rents, for sure. Every day I go to Rents. He's a former reporter for NBC, and he felt that the news was filtered, and he wasn't getting the true news. So Jeff Rents created his own website, and all of the daily headlines are right there. So that's one of the great ones on the main webpage. And Deadly Skies, that's all about the chemtrails and the spraying that's being done all over the United States and the world. There's a couple of good 911 websites, and we talked about 911 tonight, and the anniversary is tomorrow, so please check those out. David Icke, definitely a free thinker, somebody who will absolutely change the dynamics and the way you see the world and will open you up and free you up. So David Icke is a very important researcher to go to his site and learn his concepts and his thoughts about the world. And then there's some good UFO websites as well. So please check those out. And remember that we do have archives. And for a few dollars, you can hear all of my shows. I have at least 50 shows, and that I'm just one out of many shows on this network, so it's well worth the money. And you can be in these permanent archives and listen to them at your leisure anytime you want. So please do check out the archives and subscribe to them. And I'm just noticing there's a special guest on The People Speak, and it's Ellen Mariani, and she was one of the widows of 911. So she has also a really important story. She's been trying to get to the truth for years. Her husband passed on in 911. So tomorrow's a big day. So let's honor that, the 6 years that it's been since we had that defining moment in our country. And I really appreciate all of you coming to my show each week on Monday night at 8 o'clock. I really enjoy bringing it to you and have lots of interesting guests lined up for the future. So thanks for joining me, and I will see you next week on the Odyssey Radio Show. Good night.